Second reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 17 to chapter 16, verse 4, and you can find that on page 1082 in the Church Bibles. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Andy. We're in John 15. And why don't I pray? Father, we thank you for your words to us this morning. We pray that as we read them, consider them, see the challenge that they bring, we pray that we would make much more of Jesus and that we'd be confident to live and serve him and testify about him by your Spirit. Amen. Okay, so this image many of you will be familiar with by now. It's a letter of the alphabet, of the Arabic alphabet. It's the letter N. And a couple of months ago, when the Islamist state of Iraq and Syria started taking territory in Iraq, they were painting this letter on households in a city called Mosul in Iraq. And the idea of this letter is N, short for Nazarene, which is their way of describing Christians, people who follow Jesus of Nazareth. So every household which had Nazarenes, they'd paint this letter on the house. And then sometime after, they left an ultimatum. For those who lived in these houses, either leave or convert to Islam or be killed. So hundreds, if not thousands, have left their homes, have lost their place in the city of Mosul and have run away, and in other cities around in the area, because they are Christians. This next lady on the screen, you might recognize, her name is Miriam Ibrahim. She's a lady who lived in Sudan, and she's a Christian, raised a Christian, married a Christian. However, her absent father is a Muslim. So according to their law, she's an apostate. She's left the Muslim faith, which is illegal. She's married a Christian, so that's adultery. She was put in prison with her 20-month-old son, pregnant, gave birth in shackles on a death sentence because she's a Christian. Thankfully, she was released she got to safety, and that's wonderful. This one you might remember from the news. Back in April in Nigeria, a group called Boko Haram, Islamic group, abducted 200 schoolgirls from a Christian village. And we've forgotten about them now, and haven't heard about them for a while. They're probably sold into slavery, into marriage, into forced into Islam. It is horrible. It is absolutely horrible. These people are hated because they're Christians. And I could go on. This is only the last 5 months. I could talk about prayer meetings in India, which have been broken up, and those who've been participating in them have been beaten with iron bars. I could talk about an 18-year-old girl who was killed by a machete in Uganda. People all across the world are hated because they're Christians, and they're persecuted. But what about the next group? Are they hated? Are they persecuted? If your eyes are good enough, I'll give you a moment to try and find your name. But are we persecuted for being Christians? Are we hated? If persecution is a systematic violence and legislative oppression of a minority, then maybe in New Zealand we are not persecuted. We're not persecuted for being Christians currently. But we are hated. And that is what Jesus is speaking about this morning. So we're in John 15, and it's Jesus' last meal. It's his last night before he was betrayed, and he went to the cross. And we've been in this part of the Bible for a few weeks now. A lot has been going on. A lot has been said. One thing that's been said a number of times is this. This is my command, love each other. This is my command, love each other. Jesus demonstrated this at the start of a dinner when he wrapped a towel around his waist, got a bowl of water, and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, you are to do the same. You are to love each other. And then he gave more reasons why it's good to love each other. The first reason being that it's good to love each other because the world will see. That's at the end of chapter 13. The world will see that you are my disciples if you love each other. And then at the start of chapter 15, another good reason to love each other is because that is how you remain in his love, how you obey his commands. You love each other. And then at the start of our passage this morning, which we had read, we hear those words again, this is my command, love each other. And this morning we're given another great reason why we should love each other, why Christians should love one another. And that's because you'll be hated. Love each other because you will be hated. Now he gives a couple of reasons why his disciples will be hated. And the first one is fairly simple. You'll be hated because I was hated, because Jesus was hated. Look at verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Verse 20, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Jesus was hated, and therefore he says, you Christians, you followers of Jesus, will be hated. Christians are a hated people because they're the people of a hated Lord. Jesus was hated. At this point, we're getting a very different Jesus from the Jesus that we hear about in the world. We don't often hear about a hated Jesus. There's a very famous quote, which in fact Dave used a few weeks ago, last month, as from Gandhi, and he says this, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. It's a good quote, so it's got a valid point. Christians over history and presently have a very poor track record in keeping the teachings of Christ and following his example. It's a good point, but I'd suggest that Gandhi is not telling the full truth here. He doesn't like our Christ. Gandhi likes his Christ. Gandhi likes the idea of someone who is a good moral teacher, who is generally a nice bloke and does nice stuff and provokes the authorities. That's the Christ that Gandhi liked. He didn't know the real Jesus. Gandhi's suggesting that if Christians are more like Christ, they'll be more likeable. What we're reading here in John 15 is Jesus saying, if you're more like Christ, you'll be less likeable. You'll be less likeable. Christians are hated because Jesus was hated. We've been going through John's gospel over the last couple of years, and we've seen a lot of how Jesus was hated. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, the unique, only Son of God. He claimed to have the authority of God, to judge, to give life. He claimed to speak the words of God. He said that no one can come to God, to the Father, except through him, through Jesus. And anyone who does not believe in him stands condemned already. Jesus condemned those who did not believe in him. This is very offensive. And the Jewish authorities were offended by this. They wanted him dead. In the time of this passage we're reading this morning, there's a group of people who are on their way to arrest Jesus to make him dead. But it wasn't just the authorities that Jesus offended. It was even those who believed him, who followed him. In chapter 6 of John, it was Jesus' words that turned away multitudes because they didn't like what he said. In chapter 8 of John, it was people who believed in Jesus, who followed him. He said to them, "You are children of the devil." And they pick up stones to stone him. Jesus was hated. He was hated. And within hours of what we have read this morning, Jesus is betrayed, beaten, crucified to satisfy the wishes of a bloodthirsty crowd. Outside of this group of people we're reading about this morning, there was not much love for Jesus. Jesus was hated. But that was then. What about now? Is Jesus still hated now? Well, let's go back to Gandhi. I think maybe people don't speak so much about hating Jesus now because everyone has a Jesus they like. They have a Jesus that fits their box, that does what they want. But present people with the real Jesus, the whole Jesus, all that he said and did, you might find a different story. A Jesus that is more likely to be hated. A Jesus who made exclusive claims that he is the only way. A Jesus that pronounced judgment and condemned those who do not believe in him. A Jesus who tells people how to live and says they cannot save themselves. A Jesus who says that he is the center of the universe and therefore you aren't. This Jesus is the Jesus we believe and we proclaim, and this Jesus, the whole Jesus, is hated in the world today, is offensive. Christians will be hated because Jesus was hated. But the other reason Jesus gives is that Christians will be hated because they belong to Jesus, not to the world. He says in verse 19, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." This is very black and white saying from Jesus. It's one camp or the other. Either you belong to the world or you don't. It's us and them. And as Christians, we might find that hard to hear, because we very much want to say it's not us and them. It's all us. We're not better than non-Christians. We all need to be saved. We're all sinners. And we just know that Jesus provides forgiveness. It's not us and them. But actually, when it comes to the perception of the world, it is us and them. When they see us, that we have not associated ourselves with the world, but with Jesus, we have gone into a different camp. And as Jesus says, the world hates us. We do not belong to the world, we belong to Jesus. And when the world sees that, they see us saying no to the world, no to its goals, they're not our goals. No to its teaching, that's not our teaching. No to its Lord, it's not our Lord. We are saying the world is wrong if we belong to Jesus. Imagine for a moment, some of you may have a parent who raised you, who taught you, who provided for you, who set you aims to achieve in life and an example to follow. How do they feel now when you follow the aims and example and teaching and provision of someone else? It's personal. It's offensive. It's difficult. Think of a coworker who you share an office with and you do a lot of work with and you get along well and you have the same interests and you talk over morning tea, and how awkward they feel every time you bring up the Jesus issue, every time you invite them to another church event. They just don't want to go. And they don't want to go there and talk about it. They just want a superficial work friendship. And they just, what's wrong with you that you keep talking about Jesus? You feel like you should talk about Jesus. It's personal. It's offensive. It's hard. Think about the husband who can't understand why you're getting up on a Sunday morning to go to church. Who can't understand why you'd go out in the midweek evening to go to Bible study. Why you'd give some of your money to the church. It's personal. It's offensive. It's really, really hard. Think of a lifelong friend who you've known all your life and get on so well with, but their lifestyle that they have chosen that you cannot condone. And they know that. They know that you do not agree with what they're doing, and they feel like you are judging them, that you think you're better than them, that there's something wrong with them. It's personal. It's offensive. It's really, really, really hard. And if you fit into any of those examples or ones like it this morning, then I'd like to recognize that this morning. It is hard. It is difficult. It is personal and offensive. We may not be suffering violent persecution today, but Jesus' word still stands. And what's so encouraging about Jesus' words in John 15 is that he knows. He knows. It's personal. It's offensive. It's hard. We are hated because we belong to Jesus, not the world. But what does that mean for us today then? What does it mean for us as we live in the world, hated? Well, we'll go back to those words in verse 17 then. This is my command, love each other. A great reason to love each other because we are hated. How can we love each other? Well, think of it in two ways. First of all, think globally. How can we love other Christian brothers and sisters across the globe who are being persecuted for being Christians, who are hated for being Christians? How can we love them? Well, we can pray. We can seek to support them financially. There's one organization called Barnabas Fund who seeks to give financial and physical support to those who have been displaced, for example, from Iraq. We can seek to be advocates for them, to speak to governments and seek them to get to do something about it. One way to do this is at the back, as you go out, there's a petition. You might like to sign it to speak for those brothers and sisters in Iraq who are displaced, who have suffered violent persecution. How can we help globally our brothers and sisters? How can we love them? But locally, how can we love each other here? As we sit in this room, as many of us are in difficult friendships, family relationships, neighborhoods, workplaces, and we stand alone as Christians, how can we love each other then? Well, again, we pray for each other. We talk to each other. If you're someone here who doesn't really feel like you're hated for being a Christian at the moment, then please look around. Look around at other people. Find someone who you know does find it difficult, is in a difficult situation. And then think, what can I do for that person? Can I go and talk to them after the service? Can I offer to pray for them? Can I seek to help them? In Mark's gospel, Jesus says, anyone who forsakes brother or sister or parents or children or fields or homes for me and the gospel, will receive 100-fold more. Parents, brothers, sisters, fields, persecutions. And as a church, we are in that place to provide, to give, to show solidarity with those who are hated, to be family for those who have difficult family relationships. We are there to love each other when we are hated. How can we do that locally here? And again, if you are someone who it doesn't necessarily feel like you're hated, and often I feel like this myself, there's the question, which camp am I in? Do I identify myself as not belonging to the world yet in it? And if I don't, do I need to take Jesus more seriously and speak for him? It could be very easy to read these words and to see that we'll be hated and therefore to be defeatist and remove ourselves from the world around us, to not testify for Jesus because we're just going to get a lot of abuse back at us. We could say that were it not for what Jesus says carrying on in verses 26 to verse 4. You see, we are given this morning a good reason to testify for Jesus because Jesus prepares us. He prepares us. Let me read those verses to you again. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They'll do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. Jesus prepares us. That's why we can go out boldly and testify for Jesus. He prepares us because we're not alone. We're not alone. No matter how isolated you may feel in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, as a Christian, you're not alone. Jesus has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father. And this is wonderful because the Spirit continues doing what Jesus was doing. Jesus was testifying about himself and the Father, and the Spirit continues to testify about Jesus through us as we testify about Jesus. We're not alone. We're never alone. We've got his Spirit in us, with us, testifying for Jesus. We can be bold. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much we think that people will hate us and know that they will cause us trouble, we can be bold. Think of the people that Jesus was speaking to at the moment. Verse 27 makes it clear that Jesus is speaking to the 11, the apostles, the disciples. You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. These 11 men who were sent by Jesus faced incredible trouble in the coming weeks. They were beaten. They were put on trial. Later on, they were killed for proclaiming Jesus. They were hated. Yet they were not alone. The Spirit was in them, testifying. And the church grew and grew and grew and grew. They could be bold because they were not alone. They faced hatred, yet they testified, and the church grew. More people came to hear about Jesus and believe in him. That's a wonderful example for us as we seek to continue that testimony about Jesus. Is yes, the world will hate those who do not belong to the world, but yes, the church will grow. The spirits will testify, the Spirit of truth. That's one good reason why we can testify. Jesus prepares us because we're not alone, and Jesus prepares us with his words. Forewarned is forearmed. Jesus says twice why he is telling us these things. It's so that we will not fall away. We'll remember that we were warned about them. Jesus makes clear what will happen. The disciples will be put out of synagogue. They'll be treated as traitors by their country. But they're told this by Jesus' words so that they're forearmed. They know to battle on, to continue when these things happen. They expect it. They know that it is coming. They are prepared. So we are prepared to testify even when it is hard, even when it is most difficult. So what does that mean for us now? Well, think again those two views on it. Think globally. How can we testify to Jesus even when it's hard globally? Here at St. Saviour's and St. Nicholas, we have a number of mission partners who are doing a fantastic job in areas where it is hard to be a Christian. You might have noticed when we speak about our mission partners, we don't always give the country that they're in or their full name because it is difficult for them to be a Christian in that place. And we don't want to mess up their visa or anything like that. They're doing a fantastic job where it is hard, where the world hates Christians. How can we support them? How can we help them testify? Well, we can continue to support them financially and in prayer. We can write to them. We can encourage them. We can ask them how we can pray for them. We can support those testifying for Jesus where it is hard across the globe. And then locally, how can we support each other to testify even when it's really hard? It comes back to that same message of loving each other. Make use of each other. We've been considering this question recently at St. Saviour's and St. Nicholas. You'll have noticed with a survey, if you received it, how we do our invitation events, how we seek to tell others about Jesus. And we recognize that it is really, really hard to invite others to hear about Jesus, to tell others about Jesus. I know how hard that is. It is incredibly difficult. So how can we help each other to testify even when it's hard? Well, please make use of each other. If there's another Christian in your extended family, make use of them. Or in your workplace, or your neighborhood, or your sports club, make use of them. Pray with them, talk to them about the people who are particularly anti-Christ, and how you can tell them about Jesus, and how you can be bold even when it's hard. Make use of each other. You're not alone. You've got the Spirit of God with you, and we're called to love each other. So we can testify when it's hard if we make use of each other, hold ourselves accountable, pray together. And then another suggestion is that we really, if we want to proclaim Jesus when it's hard, we need to love Jesus more than what we fear losing when we speak about him. Love Jesus more than the family relationship that we fear spoiling, the comfort that we have in our work and our career. Love Jesus more than those things. We might be bolder to speak of him, to speak about him. It's very easy to decide what people will think, to decide, oh, they'll say no, so I won't talk to them. I don't know if we can decide what they'll think, yet at the same time, Jesus does decide for us. He's decided here in this passage, the world will hate you. But that doesn't stop us from proclaiming for Jesus boldly, making him known. There's a wonderful Jesus who's forewarned us, who's sent his Spirit to be with us, who's called us to love each other. Let's pray. Father, here I recognize there are many in this room who suffer deep personal hurt over their faith in Christ and others who are close to them not having a faith in Christ. I pray that you would give them boldness and support them and help each other to support each other. We pray that by your Spirit we might proclaim Jesus, testify to him even when it's hard, and that your gospel might go out and your kingdom might grow for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.